If you're a real estate agent and you're tired of cold calling, door knocking, and spending money on ads, then subscribe to this podcast. We discuss leveraging the power of YouTube for your real estate business and how these strategies earned us over $1 million in GCI our first year in real estate. My name is Lee Bilasik and my partner is Travis Plum. Let's get started.
We'll get started, and this is YouTube for real estate, passive prospecting. Let me adjust my camera there a little bit and get it all good to go. So we just came off of a very successful training. I think we had 700 people on that one. It's a lot of people. 700 people. It's good to see all of them on there, and we covered quite a bit. So today, though, we are talking about vanity metrics, views versus phone calls. I mean, does it matter? Do views matter? Well, that's a tricky question. I think yes and no at the same time. I always go back to like when we started and I had 48 subscribers after 30 days and got the first phone call. So, and it was $1 million client. Now, one thing that they didn't say whenever they called in is they didn't say, "Hey, Levi, I noticed you only have 48 subscribers. Hey, Levi, I noticed you don't have a lot of views on your channel, or you don't have a lot of videos. It looks like you just started 2 or 3 or 4 weeks ago." They didn't say any of that. They didn't ask what brokerage I was a part of. They didn't ask how long have I been in business. They didn't ask me how many homes have I sold. He literally said, I remember to this day, he said, you know, it's like that first kiss, right? Your first phone call from YouTube. You'll never forget it. And I was like, he said, you know what? We are thinking about moving to the Lakewood area. And that video you did on Lakewood really helped us out a lot. And we found a lot of value in that. And therefore, we figured, why not just give you a call? And that was really the moment whenever it just made things real. And you get that first phone call, which it was actually a Zoom call, which we link all of that, you know, on our YouTube channel. So he scheduled a Zoom, jump on the Zoom. Literally 30 days in, 48 subscribers. We probably had, you know, 10 to 12 videos up at that time. And it just proved the point that the views don't matter. The subscribers don't matter. And he had $1 million budget. So you can get $1 million client whenever you don't have the vanity metrics in place. And so, you know, is it nice? Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's cool. I think it's really cool whenever you get 1,000 subs and you get that little K, you know, that little K on your subscriber count. I do believe that kind of just gives a little extra authority to your channel that, you know, were we doing business before that, before we hit 1K? Absolutely. We did a lot of business before hitting 1K. Now, from 1,000 to 7,000 subscribers, we did a lot of business. But still, even if you look at 1,000 subscribers, sometimes people look at that and think, well, that's not really that big of a deal, or that's not that much. And I think on YouTube, we definitely put a lot of parameters. We put a lot of success around the people that have 100,000 or 1 million subscribers. And so that's what we look to. Now, if you're monetizing through YouTube, that absolutely matters. Your view count and your subscribers should lead to views, but if you're getting paid per view, and that's how big time YouTubers can definitely make a lot of money off of that, then it absolutely matters. The views matter. And if you're getting millions of views, then you're going to make some pretty good AdSense. You know, for us, it was never about the AdSense. It wasn't about the views. The only concern I had was, will the phone ring? Period. So, you know, with you get 48 subscribers and the first phone call, boost your confidence, makes you feel warm and fuzzy, especially talking to $1 million client. He came into town 3 or 4 weeks after that. Now, he ended up never contracting with us, but by that point as well, we started to get more phone calls. And he also gave us a little bit of a timeline, like summertime. He wasn't looking to move right away. So channel started in December 5th. So yeah, right around January 5th or so, got that phone call, had that discussion with him, and he came into town February. I remember it specifically as well because we had a weird, our weird winter storms we typically have. And so it was really snowy and icy. So we didn't get to venture around a lot or look at a lot of places. It was really just more like meeting, grabbing a coffee, hanging out, chit-chatting. And he was looking more at a summertime move anyways. So it was like, cool, put him in the pipeline and we'll be good to go. Now, more and more phone calls started to pick up from there. But ultimately, by the end of the year, we had closed $1 million in commissions and had right about 7,000 subscribers. Now, if you were trying to monetize on YouTube, 7,000 subscribers does not pay you a lot. And this is something where, you know, Sean Cannell from Think Media, when he heard our story, this is where he really picked up on that. And, you know, this is what helped us get featured in YouTube Secrets, the second edition, was because Sean, you know, heard that story. Of course, I, you know, built that relationship with Benji. Benji introduced me to Sean. And when Sean heard that, because he's, you know, Mr. YouTube, he was like, man, this is a great story because this is exactly what we preach, where, you know, if you have a strong business or business model, or you're able to monetize offline, or you have a, you know, a high ticket offer, which real estate could be considered a high ticket offer. And one YouTuber that I met before, he described me as a super affiliate for real estate. He goes, you're really like a super affiliate, man, because he's like, you're not showing homes. You're not, you're not driving people around. And I said, no. And he goes, you're a super affiliate for real estate. I was like, yeah, that's kind of a good way to put that. So that's what I'm doing. I'm creating video content. It's generating leads, and I'm passing those leads along, and other people are closing them. And that works out well. It's a really good business model. So at that point, when Sean Cannell heard our story, you know, that's where our friendship began, because he just loved it. He loved the story, and it's something that he's always talking about. And I don't think he had seen that amount of scale, especially in the first year of a business, to be able to do $1 million, at least that I know of. It seems like now he's probably come across a couple of other channels that are doing something a little bit similar, or has in other niches, not necessarily real estate, and they've been able to generate a significant amount of money quickly, and mainly because they're providing value through video and monetizing off platform. So most YouTubers, though, again, they're looking for that 100,000, the million subscribers, they're trying to get millions of views, they're trying to get the viral videos, because that racks up. And that can be lucrative on the pay scale. I know Think Media, they've shared their back end of their channel. I mean, they're making 100,000 to 300,000 a month, I believe, in AdSense, you know, from their channel. So they're getting a ton of views, and that's a significant amount of income for a business, especially whenever, I mean, you're not advertising, you're not paying to advertise, you're posting content on that channel and generating that type of income, a six figure or multiple six figure income from that. That's a big deal. Will we get there through real estate? I mean, I haven't seen too many multi-million viewed real estate channels. I'm trying to think. I mean, I definitely know some creators, real estate agents with 100,000 or even 200,000 subscribers. I guess you could look at someone maybe like Meet Kevin, who has, he might be closer to 2 million, I think, at this point. Ryan Serhant, of course. And so, you know, there's just a handful of agents out there. And Meet Kevin now, I mean, he's really more getting involved into property syndication. He's also just recently got all of his series license, so he's getting into financial advising and stock advising and things like that. So he's pretty well-diversed. But they've been able to monetize significantly off a platform. But for little old us, you know, we have been focused on search-based content. Now, here's the other side of that argument. And I've got my good friend, Professor Nez, you know, he will argue all day long that you want to be in suggested, you want to be in browse. But I don't know, we've had several videos that can get in suggested, can get into browse, and it's great. It's great to have YouTube push that content out for you. But at the same time, I, you know, do certain people get in front of some of the wrong audience? I mean, YouTube knows its audience, but if you got a video and it gets 20,000 views in a day on YouTube, it just makes me wonder, is it really pushing out to 20,000 people that are interested in real estate?
Allow me to take a quick break to remind you that we have very important links in the description below. If you want the full story of how we closed over $1 million in commissions our first year and over $2.3 million in commissions our second year, check out the first link. Also, you have the link to our number one Amazon best-selling book, Passive Prospecting. Last, if you enjoy this podcast and you're a giving person, leave a 5-star review, please. Now back to the episode.
And for us, you know, making search-based content where we typically get picked up quite a bit on search. Now a lot of our videos are getting picked up on browsing, suggested. Nothing viral. We've had a few videos that have, I would say, go mini viral. 60,000 views, 25,000, 30,000 views within a short time. And that's okay, but each of those times, I haven't really correlated a spike in phone calls necessarily a significant amount. We stay pretty steady, Eddie, on our phone calls. But I do know this, is that there are definitely some other channels out there that I've seen that are getting some good views. And some may be getting five figures or six figures in views as well on their videos. But also, if I look into production, you know, we're still crushing pretty much everybody that I know in production. So whenever it comes to that, then even I even know a couple of real estate YouTubers that have hundreds of thousands of subscribers. Now, their model is not to monetize real estate sales, it's to monetize real estate referrals. And so if they're only making 25% of a transaction, clearly they've got to do four transactions to match when we do one transaction. So they could have, if they have the same amount of leads we do, we'll always win in production because we'll close four times as much just by default. But I have seen other channels in Texas, in other parts of the country too. Some new construction channels I've seen, where people just do intros on camera and then walk through homes. That's it. I've seen channels where it's all walk through with kind of faceless, and those can have hundreds of thousands of views. I've seen other that just monologue through the whole thing, but they're not on camera. And then of course I've seen people on camera get a ton of views. And when it comes down to it, some of these people, I can see production. It is based on their team and whatnot. Some people are within our own brokerage, so it's easy to see their production, and so I can go reference it. And I still don't know of, and I see some of these people can get hundreds of thousands of views on their videos, and that's great. We've got one video over 100,000 views, and so whenever you look at views, we're not up there with some of these channels. However, when I can confirm that towards production, we are still crushing in production. I don't know of anybody. Hold on. I don't know of I know of one person that's pretty close to us in production, and they do well, you know, but as far as I know, we still, if you look at total production. So what does that mean? Well, it means that yes, vanity metrics look good. Subscribers look good. Views look good. But you have to look at the underlying revenue or the underlying, you know, business that's being generated. So we continue to focus on search-based content. We've just done a run around the last several months on just reshooting a lot of vlogs, neighborhood communities. I noticed that whenever I first shot a lot of them a year and a half, 2 years ago, of course we ranked. And then, you know, people have come into the market. People have come into the Dallas market. More channels are popping up. And I was starting to get pushed down on some of those areas. So I just went back, and this summer was a push to reshoot all of those videos. On top of that, I made them longer, on average 38 to 45 minutes. I just did a search last night on incognito window, and all of our videos are pretty much ranked number one again in the Dallas market for, you know, all the various suburbs. So we've been able to recapture those spots, and you know, we've been getting a good amount of leads come back in. Now, we only count buyer leads or seller leads if we get those. We don't count lease leads, and we get a significant amount of those as well. But that's what I'd keep an eye on. For us, I still truly believe search-based content is the best to lead conversions because people are intentional. They are searching for that information. Our average contact to contract is 51 days. And that means the first time anybody ever reaches out to us, we're typically getting them under contract in 51 days. That's a big deal. That is fast. That's intentional. So are we the most viewed? There's actually a couple of channels in the Dallas area that you know, some of their videos get some more views of us. There's a couple in the surrounding cities that get some more views of us. But again, when we've got the production that goes with it, right now, we're approaching almost 70 million closed. And a majority of that, not all of it, but a majority of that is coming from YouTube. Again, to me, that's what matters when the phone call rings. But it's more than just the phone call ringing. It is the conversion process when they call, because regardless, you still have to talk to them on the phone. You do have to convert. You do have to justify that relationship. You know, these people are coming to you with a relationship in place, but you have to solidify it. You have to, you know, help them see the value and the reason why they called you. So, you know, they see the value in the videos, but we have to confirm that value when they call. And if we're somebody completely different, or we're playing a character on YouTube, or we're truly a jerk, or we're not that personable, whatever the case may be, you know, you still have opportunity to lose that business. So you do want to focus on the conversion side. And I think that's something that we've done really well. And maybe that's the reason why. Maybe we're an anomaly. I don't know. I don't know what that correct answer is. I just know that we definitely convert at higher percentage rates too, for anywhere from 9 to 12 to 13%. I've heard some out there saying that they can, you know, I don't know if I want to get into that, but they talk about 80% conversion rates. I'm just like, that's, you would be the greatest marketer on the planet. They'd write you into the Guinness Book of World Records. I hardly know of any sales funnel, if any sales funnel in the entire world that's ever converted at 80%. But it's definitely not going to happen with YouTube unless you're, it's just, yeah, that's just not happening. 80%, unrealistic. But then again, who knows? I could be completely wrong, and maybe they figured something out. But again, whenever I correlate it, they must be getting next to no leads, because again, if I can look at production numbers, we're still ahead on that front. So, you know, again, it's really something to think about whenever you're creating that content. You know, the reason we still focus on the search-based content is that I just believe that's where the best clients are. That's what they're doing. And yes, is it cool to get in suggested and browse? Kind of like my conversations with Nez, he will say all day long. But again, he's in a completely different genre, completely different niche. And we know that not everybody on YouTube is looking to buy Dallas, Texas real estate. So I'm not trying to get a million views, because I don't think there's a million people looking to buy real estate in Dallas. Now, could they subscribe to the channel and maybe we sell them a house down the road? It could be, possibly, but I don't know if that's the case. That's the same concept with shorts right now. Shorts, you can get some views, get some traction, go mini viral, you could say, or maybe even go viral. Look at the subscribers. Probably not gonna be as comparative to your long form content. Has anybody called you and said, hey, that short form video you made that was only 30 seconds really made me want to buy a home from you? That, you know, it's probably not the case, but it is good exposure. It does get you in front of a lot more people, but in my opinion, that's the same as getting in suggested and browse. You know, because again, YouTube is suggesting you to people. So that's really the strongest. If YouTube's suggesting you to people, then you should have that should be a pretty good audience. And remember, YouTube doesn't push your videos to anybody. It pulls the right video, or at least what they believe the right video, to the person. So when you publish a video, technically it's like just sitting there on the platform. It's not until somebody starts to, you know, they log on or they start to search that YouTube says, oh, this video could help you out, and it gets pushed to them. So something to keep in mind. But overall, I would just, and this is something new channels get caught up in a lot in the beginning as well, is they do get stuck on subscribers and views. And yes, now don't get me wrong, views do lead to conversions. They do lead to phone calls, and that can lead to conversions. But again, it doesn't mean you have to have 1,000, 10,000, 100,000 views. So I think we've calculated it out, and this could have changed. Last time we calculated this out, about every 1,000 views we can sell a home. So that is a good conversion rate. So I think we should rerun those numbers, but that's what it was last time we checked. Either 1,000 views for, maybe it was a lead. And I would say probably 1,000 views for a phone call. And then there's another metric I think we have for a closed home. But otherwise, it's, you know, so, and it seems to be running pretty consistent. We haven't had any runaway videos. We had a video last year, went to 60,000 views in a month. We just had a video 2 weeks ago that went to 25,000 views in 2 weeks. One, you know, 2 months before that went to 25,000 views in a short time. So we've seen that. We hit these little moments here and there, because they get suggested, or they get suggested a lot, you know, to a much larger audience. But the one thing I will tell you that we have correlated more phone calls to is interest rates. When interest rates fluctuate or drop down, we tend to get more calls. If they go up, we tend to get less calls. So we know that people are watching the market closely. And also, just like within the last week or two, as rates came down just a bit, our phone calls increased. And good, high-quality clients, ones that we can convert. I know Travis mentions right now he's got 15 million in his pipeline. I mean, 15 million in business that he says is literally itching to pull the trigger. You know, itching to pull the trigger. So that's a nice spread to have moving into the new year. And not to count what we have pending that is under contract, but yeah, 15 million right there. And he's got a lot, even more than that, that is probably waiting until spring or summer. But all that comes with momentum, building it up. But ultimately, as a new channel, I think it's nice to get to that 1K. You know, when you get that K, we celebrate that in our group. We've been sending out plaques or awards this last week. It's really cool, especially the responses and the feedback we've been getting. And we call it the sub club. So, you know, we call it the 1K sub club. We've got the 5K sub club. We've got the 10K sub club. So we've got a couple of people with channels over 10,000 subscribers. Kyler, who's one of our first people to go through the program, and he's about to hit 16,000 subs, and I know he's closed over 35 million this year, you know, from his channel, and changed his business. And he was a complete skeptic at the beginning, so that's pretty awesome. Rochelle up in Toronto, she's crossed over the 10,000. We've got so many great success stories, and now we're passing out these awards, really good size awards. We're calling it the sub club. So that's kind of cool to see. So yes, there is something about that, but ultimately it is a vanity metric, because if you got 1,000 subs and no phone calls, it's like, who cares? People would quit on that channel, right? Or they might be thinking about it. Now you could have 500 or 100 subscribers and close 3 or 4 deals, and you probably are not thinking about quitting, right? So again, we know the phone calls matter. And if you got, simple thing is that if you got 100,000 views on a video or 100,000 subscribers and you were generating zero business from it, would you keep making real estate videos? That's a good question. That's a good question. Not really sure. So, you know, the things to consider is that you just want to stay consistent. Most importantly, consistency is key. If you stay consistent, you don't quit, you will be successful sometime, you know, some sooner than others. And that's okay. Look, we just want to work on ourselves versus worry about everybody else. But if you got a few people in your market, write down their subscriber count, or, you know, take a look at them and use them as a benchmark. Where do you want to be? Where do you want to go? Do you want to pass them up? You know, do you want to catch them? Those types of things matter. I mean, for me, there was definitely people in the Dallas area I wanted to catch, really only about two, maybe three channels at the most. And it was just a vanity metric, really, for me to say, ooh, I want to catch them, maybe even pass them up one day. It was really just kind of like a goal, like a, you know, something I was just working towards. And just as a milestone. And sure enough, it took about a year and a half. And one of those channels started at 7,000 subs, or had 7,000 subs. So they had a 7,000 sub head start. But I put together the plan. I knew how I could catch them and possibly pass them up. And then I just stayed consistent. And about a year and a half in, we caught them. And now we've blown past them, almost double. Because now we're sitting at almost 28,000 subs. And they're, I believe, still around 15 or so. I think we caught them at the 13,000 mark. And so far, since then they've grown about 2,000, and we've grown about 12,000 on subscribers. So we're on a good track there, and another channel too that I wanted to catch, and we were able to catch and pass up, and we've just blown past them now too. But again, more importantly, we got the business that goes with it, and that's most important, because that's what pays the bills. So let me see. All right. Dun, 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 dun. So, Christine, anything you want to add in there?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, this is a question that comes up all the time, even within our own, you know, client base, people who we've said over and over again, don't use ads, don't use ads, don't use ads. You know, like Levi was saying, you know, it's tempting to want to see those numbers rise quicker, but I can't tell you how many times we've had someone go and buy subscribers and completely take their channel. You know, we had a group of some guys that did that on a channel about a year ago, where they went and they bought a bunch of leads. They bought a bunch of subscribers, and they thought it was going to really help get their videos out there. I think they rose their subscribers to about 500, but it turns out we went in and looked at their analytics, and their analytics showed that all of them were from India. And it wasn't within the demographic they were actually looking for. And it was an uphill battle, and their videos were not very successful. After 6 months of doing that, they hadn't gotten a single lead from their channel. So it's really easy to tank your channel if you're fixated on subscribers and you try to go after that and try to do a shortcut. Organic is always going to be better. Don't try to tell YouTube what you think your subscriber should look like. Let YouTube tell you who your subscriber should look like, and you'll always get the leads faster that way.
Awesome. All right, I'm going to go to the chat, and I don't see any questions in the chat. I think, hey, I'm happy to jump. I've already been on some several trainings today, so and I've got one more podcast for a real estate channel after this. So if there's no questions, I think that was a good point to throw on there too. I mean, it is, I'll say this, and I know that's a fact too, because our passive prospecting YouTube channel, I've never bought subscribers, you could say, for that, but we have run ads from our YouTube channel. This is how I know you don't want to run ads from your YouTube channel as well, because we've run ads, you know, for our educational business on YouTube, and that has to be attached to a channel. Knowing what I know now, I would have just created a separate channel just really for ad purposes. I could have thrown a few videos on there, or maybe some shorts or something like that, but, you know, running ads will inflate subscribers and views as well. And so it's one thing, it'll be nearly impossible for me to ever understand the true analytics of that channel because even though you run ads from an unlisted video, so people can't see that on your channel, the views still get mixed in on the back end with the analytics. So if we increase budget on an ad that day and it jumps up views, I mean, it'll look like in our analytics, boom, man, we got 1,000 views in, you know, in one day on the channel. Wow, amazing. Or 2,000 or 5,000. And then but that all came from the ad spend. Did we increase our subscribers? Yes. But again, whenever you start posting long form content, I know the audience that wants to watch that wants to consume that content is not very well established there. So, you know, it's one of those things where I'm looking at now, because I know that's the case on passive prospecting, it is what it is. We still put out some good content on there, but now do I start my personal brand channel, the Levi Lasek YouTube channel? Well, if I do that, I am considering that. However, I really don't want another channel to be adding content to right now. But as I do that, I'll do that, and I'll never run an ad to that channel. So that's something I do know. And thankfully, I never ran a YouTube ad to our real estate channel. So we know that's organic. We know what the views are. We know the views attached to the videos. I mean, it's just so much more cleaner, and the phone rings. Also, same thing with my Instagram. So I worked with the company might have been 2021, but maybe at the beginning of last year. I worked with the company that was helping me set up automations and things like that. So if you ever see calls to action, especially like on my reels, and I say, hey, DM me the word YouTube or DM me the word passive, you know, when that happens, it's going to trigger a conversation, automations through the DMs. And that is a funnel. Well, when I worked with that company to do that, they also were like, hey, we can help grow your subscriber base. And I was very clear with them. I was like, look, I don't want to pay for that. I only want that if you can really target real estate agents or get if you can increase my subscribers with real estate agents. I said, that's all I'm concerned about. And they said, oh, yeah, we can do that. And I said, look, and it has to be, you know, really kind of organically. If you've got a few tricks of the trade or, you know, certain hashtags or whatever we can add to reach them or ways to target, then I'm for that. And they started to grow, my Instagram, which now I wish it would have been done organically, because then I'd have a true understanding of the true following on there. So, but now with Instagram, at first it started to really pick up. There was high engagement. Reels were doing really well. And I don't know if this is an Instagram thing anyways, but at some point, as I started to see the followers too, there were some real estate agents in there, but there were a lot more questionable people on there than I wouldn't be concerned about having in the first place. And I had to have a couple of discussions with them, but they kept reassuring me and pushing that out. And it grew, you know, the follower count, you could say, quite a bit, you know, to the point to where I was just like, well, that is what it is now. And, you know, again, going back, it's like, well, that's, I can't change that now. And I don't, you know, again, it's truly skewed everything on there. So it's hard for me to really know the real value of the subscriber base, because now Reels, and I know this happens with a lot of people, but we had a good run there several months. All of our Reels were doing good. And, you know, that's the other thing with that company is, did they work with this group, or as people came in, did they incentivize them for engagement or those types of things? Never really got a clear answer on that. But now engagement is down quite a bit. But, you know, the right eyeballs, I know anytime I do a call to action on my Instagram, I will get a significant amount of messages. So therefore, I know I'm reaching the audience I want to through that way, but I don't really have a true understanding of my baseline, you know. And that's something that, if I could turn back the clock, I would do that. but I can't now, so it's not a big deal. It is what it is, and I just have to work on it and move forward. So that's fine. Not a big deal. I usually get a big spike in followers, of course, after I speak or they do these trainings. That always helps out. And then, but now I'm starting to be able to scale back a lot of those accounts that I don't need on my profile anyways are starting to unfollow, which is good. And hopefully I can just meet somewhere in the middle in the next year or two. That's the way I look at it now. Hopefully I'll get enough people to unfollow that shouldn't be there in the first place. I'm definitely not going to take the time to go through there and try to delete accounts or get rid of them, because that would just take too long. But if I keep growing my organic base and anybody that's not aligned with what I'm doing starts to shrink, then hopefully I can meet somewhere in the middle and be back at, a true organic base of Instagram followers. So, it is what it is. But also, I do run ads on Facebook, and Facebook ads also add to Instagram following, also adds to Facebook likes on my page. So again, that can inflate that as well. So if you're running ads, you will get some inflation there. It will pump you up. It will give you some views initially. It will give you some subscribers or followers, and it will look great. But when it comes down to doing business, it's just going to be a hard time sorting out the truth, what's real. That's it. That's what it is. And that's okay. As long as my real estate channel is ad-free and organic, that's what's really generating the business. And that's what I like. But of course, running ads for our educational business is going to get us in front of a lot more people a lot sooner. So, and that's something I'm not as worried about growing the organic following there, but it will happen along with the ad spend. But as long as we're running ads, it's going to be hard to differentiate that out. So John says, can you go over the advantages or disadvantages of using shorts on YouTube, or do you just not recommend them at all? Yeah, I mean, I think there's a place. It depends on where you're at in your channel. I think you should absolutely develop a foundation of long-form content. You know, what's the right time frame? I don't know. 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, a year. I would say at a minimum 6 months. I'd want to be generating business first. Generate business first, consistent business through long form content. And then if you want to test out some shorts on the channel later on down the road, sure. I just don't know if shorts ever really converting. Again, I look at shorts almost kind of like an organic ad strategy, because if you put a short out there, it has potential to get a lot of views, get you some subscribers, but I can't really correlate that to conversions at this point. So it's kind of up in the air. Again, do you want that extra exposure, the extra views? I mean, we've been testing out with some shorts recently. They definitely spike the views on the channel. And it's cool because, like, you'll wake up one day and you're like, oh man, I had 1,000 views on one video yesterday, and then it's a short. Okay, well, again, didn't necessarily correlate to 10 times the phone calls. So it's something we're just kind of playing around with right now. We're periodically testing some shorts, and what have we seen? They get a lot of views initially, start to die out. Now they are starting to get picked back up in search. So that is something that is interesting to me, is that shorts are searchable. So if that's the case, why wouldn't I? I don't know. Why wouldn't I at least experiment? And I've got to do that consistently to determine whether it's a good idea or not. But, I don't know where you're at on your channel, John, but I would just say build a strong foundation of long-form content first. Generate business, be consistent on generating that business, and then test out some shorts or add them in if you want, and I think you'll be okay. So, can you clarify vanity domain name and YouTube channel name don't need to be the same? Yes, that is correct. And it probably won't be, because your channel name, whatever you choose it to be, might already, unless it's your own personal name, will likely already be taken. So that is what it is. And right now, you know, a lot of people are following. And just because we have a channel named Living in Dallas, Texas, a lot of people want to follow that suit. That's okay. I don't think the channel name's a big deal as much as I did a year or two ago. And so if you wanted to name your channel Gary Kawano, Dallas, Texas Realtor, I think that would be just as fine as why Living in Dallas. You're not, you could get the unique handle of Gary Kawano, if that's how you say it. You could get that unique handle because it's your name. And so there's opportunity that it's available. But if you try Living in Dallas, Texas right now, well, you're not going to get that. So it's going to be Living in Dallas 378, right? And that's not anything you're going to want to advertise anywhere, really. So, you know, you could try some different variations, moving to, relocating to, Dallas, Texas Living, things like that. You could try different variations that you can get the same handle. But again, most people go by the channel name. If they're searching, if they search by the handle, they're going to find your channel specifically. So there's pros and cons to both. But otherwise, I wouldn't put emphasis too much on that. And if you want to find something unique, then you know that would give you a unique channel handle. And if you don't, if you end up going with Living In or Moving To or Relocating To, and somebody already has that, which they likely do, then you're going to get Moving To Dallas, Texas 3578. Has your opinion on the best times to post for newer channels changed? No, I mean, I don't think so. I mean, what I always talk about is that I think you have to publish around 20 videos or so before YouTube tells you the best time to publish. So I would work on that. I would just work on publishing videos, getting to 20. I mean, I think about it, you know, we typically, if we publish three times a week, it would be Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, or Monday. I mean, we would just stagger it out basically every other day. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. If we do it on a Tuesday or Thursday, probably more towards that late afternoon or evenings, thinking about when. But now I think a lot of people consume YouTube throughout the day as well, especially at work. So, you know, posting earlier in the day probably wouldn't be that bad. But otherwise, yeah, I'll just post and I'll stick to consistent times, pretty much try to post at the same times until I get that the 20 videos published and it pops that analytic up in my back end of the office that says best times that viewers watch your channel. So that will give you the cheat code right there to check that out. All right. Well, I think that's it for the questions on there. And I don't know, for some reason, my voice is getting a little dried out. I must be talking way too much today, and I still got one more podcast to go. So I think I'll call it a day there. Chris, anything else you wanted to add on that last part we talked about?
No, I think it's just kind of going back to the fact that, you know, YouTube's kind of like a dance. If the wrong partner's leading, you're not going to achieve the performance that you're looking for. So let YouTube lead you on the audience that you're trying to target, the who, the time that you're posting, the when, and the type of content that you're producing, the what. And as long as you do those things, the right audience will come to you and you will get the leads.
Oh, so philosophical, Chrissy.
I don't know. Being in Dallas brings it out in me, I guess.
Yeah. Dancing the dance, walking the walk, talking the talk, dancing the dance. Seem to be, man. All right. Well, we can talk some philosophy after this, I suppose. We can solve all the world's deepest problems. Okay.
All the world's problems.
Okay. Well, we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining us today. And, you know, make sure you, I don't know, if you want to get the book, you can go to book.passiveprospecting.com. We also have another 2-day event coming up soon, so you could register for that as well. And that should be backstage.passiveprospecting.com. So lots of cool opportunities coming up. We're excited about the new year and have some good programs coming your way, but we'll be doing a revamp on our course as well, getting it ready for 2024. And it's going to be a great year. We're looking forward to it. I know we're in the best position to capitalize next year on the market. If interest rates do come down, it's going to get very, very interesting. So we're looking forward to that. So until next time, well, we hope to see you on YouTube. Bye for now.
See you guys.
Thank you for joining us on today's podcast. If you're interested in partnering with us to access our YouTube course and coaching at no cost, schedule a call at passiveprospectingpartner.com.